Welcome to a new episode of Doctrine and Doxology. We are here to help you understand biblical truths that lead to adoration, worship, praise of God.
All right. And this is Larry Jones and
Skylar Spradlin.
There you go.
Co-host number two. You're number one, man.
Can I be?
Yeah. You're older.
Next episode, you be number one, okay?
No, I'll be number two.
Oh, no, I'm okay with two. I really am.
I'll be number one.
I'm okay with 10 or
number
20, whatever.
Hey, it's been 2 weeks since we've sat here.
Been too long, too. Yeah.
2 weeks too long.
Yep.
Last week was the giving of thanks.
Yes, we did that.
And we were together last week at this time. But
absolutely. On Wednesday.
Yeah, but we weren't recording. The week before that, I was out of state.
Out of state of what?
Out of a state of mind.
Or the state of Oklahoma, maybe.
Yeah. I was in Fort Worth at the Evangelical Theological Society, which was wonderful. Best kept secret in the world.
Well, I hope they poured a lot of good stuff into you so that you can just blossom on the recording today.
Well, I doubt that happens, but it was terrific.
Yeah.
It's got to me, it's going to be probably a yearly thing.
A lot of great speakers were there. And
yeah, it wasn't even always the great speakers that had the best presentations. I mean, they were all good if they fit into your niche. But there were some that were just really, really helpful.
Good. Yeah.
Anyways, glad to be back doing this. Glad to be back home.
Glad to be back.
Ministry. We are in the throes of the holiday season.
There you go.
Means busy, busy.
Yes, we are.
I am.
Well, I am too. Well, actually, I'm not.
Well,
that's a lie. I lied. I'm sorry, y'all. I lied.
It's a relentless time of the year for me, but this is something I enjoy doing. So this is a good break from all the other busy things.
Are you talking about the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're with your best friend.
Jesus.
And Jesus. And Larry. Okay, your best friend and Larry.
And Larry. Yeah. I don't know. I like this.
I like the bantering.
Well, like we've been talking, if it serves a purpose, if God uses it, if it does any good, then I enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
What's our question for today?
A lot of
We're getting too sentimental here. You're getting a tear in your eye.
Yeah, I was. I hope I can clear my eye to read.
Your eye?
Yeah.
Could you explain to our listeners your eye situation?
Well, it's very interesting. I wear contacts. Isn't that great?
I think it's bizarre.
And my contacts are at a certain level. And I have found that if you can up that level in one eye, your non-dominant eye, then you actually read with that eye. And when you look out over the countryside, you use the other eye.
So I have to clear my reading eye. So you have a nearsighted eye contact and a farsighted eye contact.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I don't have to wear, what's those little helpers?
Glasses?
They're reading glasses. Yeah, I don't have to wear reading glasses. Interesting. So the question today is, how can we properly approach and honor brothers and sisters in Christ that are part of another denomination? I didn't read that correctly. May I start again?
Yeah, you're using your far eye.
How can we properly approach and honor brothers and sisters in Christ that are part of other denominations that might have deeply incorrect theology, but the individual believer is undoubtedly saved and faithful? ?
Okay, short answer, I don't know. Next.
Okay, the next question is, in Jeremiah, wait a minute.
Okay, there's a couple of things going on with this question.
Okay, I think so too.
There's actually a lot going on with this question, and I find it to be one of the more difficult questions we've gotten. in terms of articulating it.
You didn't like the way I spoke?
No, I don't mean the question, I mean the answer.
Oh, okay.
Because this is a I don't know, what is it, Christian maturity issue, discernment issue, wisdom issue, Christ-like issue?
Yes, it is.
I mean, because the phrase deeply incorrect theology could have
many different meanings.
Many different meanings.
If it's too incorrect, then you probably should make them your best friend.
There's a line, yeah. Obviously, there's a line. And how can one be undoubtedly saved and faithful while also holding deeply incorrect theology? I know that's possible, but there's a lot of vagueness there.
Sure, sure.
So at some point, they're not faithful because they're getting the truth wrong.
True that.
And so, yeah, they may be saved, but if they're really deeply incorrect in some of their beliefs, I would say that faithfulness is called into question. And if that faithfulness is called into question, that really ramps up how we respond to these people.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I had one thought. If we have friends with people who are not faithful in their theology, we need to be sure we know ours.
Yeah,
I think that's a very pointed thing. And I have a personal experience. A very close person in my life was trying to share the gospel with someone of a Muslim faith, and it was not grounded. This person was not grounded in our faith, so she ended up becoming a Muslim.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you need to be grounded before you start a relationship, especially a close relationship with someone with a different theology.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good, really good point.
So study, study, study.
Well, here's how I want to take this question. The first phrase, how can we properly approach?
Okay.
With both eyes open, one foot in front of the other, slowly. Not crouched, but not standing too tall like you're intimidating.
Properly approaching.
Speak softly. Eyes wide open, no sudden hand movements.
We're not approaching a Bengal tiger here.
You don't know that.
Properly. That's what it sounded like.
Properly approach.
Properly approach. How do you properly approach a Bengal tiger?
You don't.
There you go.
By backing away.
By one foot behind the other.
That's right.
Eyes wide open.
Well, so really the first part of the question shows a good starting point. You want to honor brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
In Christ.
And because a lot of people are of a different denomination and they have some differences in their second tier issues with us. But they don't have any differences in first tier issues.
Though I have to interject, that circle of fellowship is growing smaller.
What do you mean?
There are more churches now that have compromised on first-tier issues than there were in the past.
Yeah, that's true.
But that first phrase there, yeah, to recognize there are others out there who can disagree with us, and they do disagree with us, they can disagree with us, and we still want to honor them. That's a really great starting point, because those are the things I thought of in the scriptures that I think are lacking right now in
society?
Well, even in Christian engagement.
Okay.
Things like gentleness, kindness, compassion, patience, those hallmarks of Christ as he interacted with people.
Sure, sure.
Well, the Peter passage you're about to read.
I just read a passage about that.
The respect.
It may not deal exactly with this question, but it does have some elements
that
are very important. So it says, this is 1 Peter chapter 3. There we go. I found it.
Your close eye.
Yeah, I had to, wink one and blink with the other. Okay, I'm going to start with 13 and just read about three verses. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. What have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience so that when you're slandered, those who revile you with your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Gentleness and respect.
It's dealing more with engaging a hostile world, but I think the principle still applies.
Yeah, we deal with everyone with gentleness and respect.
Yes, there should be a foundational desire within us as Christians to respond and act like Christ.
And the reason is because we love them.
Yes.
We love the lost man. We love the saved man. We love those who have different opinions.
And we could be the ones that are wrong.
Oh, it's because
usually not,
the love of Christ dwells in us. It's correct. Not because we're really good hoity-toity people.
Hoity-toity, is that a
we're not even term? Hoity-toity. We love people because, not because we're good, not because aren't we something, because Christ lives in us.
Correct.
And it's his love that flows through to other people.
Correct. 2 Corinthians 5, his love constrains us.
There you go.
Man.
Very good.
That's a showstopper right there.
Yeah, it's kind of like you don't really want to be constrained, but you want to be constrained that way.
Yeah.
Handcuffed.
Now you've got my mind going in different ways.
Yeah. But we want to be constrained in Christ's love.
So I think if you feel compelled to engage brothers and sisters in these things, let me back up.
Back up.
That's okay. One of the points I would make.
Beep, beep, beep.
Don't feel like you're the one that has to engage everybody who's wrong.
True that.
That's just arrogance.
Okay.
Like, number one, you don't have it all together, nor do you know everything about everything. And so don't feel like you have to go to battle on every heel that you come across.
Sure.
And try to sway everybody.
You and I have differences of opinion on certain things.
Right.
And I'm trying to win you over.
There's some people out there, I'm not going to say who, but they know who they are.
You're looking right at me when you say that.
Well, there's nobody else to look at. I'm not talking about you. But there are others that I just have to say, hey, we can't talk about this because you're too wrong and you won't listen. Anyways. So.
And it would cause strife.
Yes,
in the relationship.
And it's not worth it. That's,
some
it's
relationships are very
it.
Important.
Yeah. So my point here, don't feel like you have to be the person that goes to engage all these people about
correct,
all the things
correct.
That you think they're believing and doing wrongly.
But you should be ready.
Yes.
When there's a difference in theology.
Yes.
You should be ready to support yours
right.
with true conviction and biblical foundation.
So if you do feel compelled to engage someone over a difference of belief, then you need to
do it gently with respect.
Yeah. Do it with the love of Christ permeating your thoughts and just splashing out of your heart and your mouth, like great humility, great patience.
Yeah.
That stuff is more compelling to people than, I don't know, eloquent speech.
Sure.
Okay. Let's skip to the deeply theological part.
Okay.
Because I think, technically the next phrase of this question is, they want to honor brothers and sisters, but they point out brothers and sisters in Christ who are a part of other denominations.
Probably so.
I don't know what denomination this questioner's mm-hmm. of. But there's nothing wrong with having friends of another denomination.
Absolutely not. And I think there's an element where we need, if that other denomination is an evangelical or denomination, I think we should unite with them in certain things.
Yes. So I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time on that.
Okay.
But I do think we need to spend a lot of time on the deeply incorrect theology.
Okay.
I wish I had examples.
Well, if you go to a you could kind of just start going through the different denominations and say, well, this is where we differ, and those to us are first tier issues. And sometimes there's a difference and they are not first tier issues.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the best way to delineate here, to describe what we're talking about. Top tier, first tier issues, second tier, third tier. It's just the phrase that they use in this question, deeply, deeply incorrect theology.
Right.
That to me, implies a certain seriousness.
Sounds like it, yeah.
And at some point, there's a seriousness. Well, yeah, at some point, there's a first-tier issue that arises that it's serious enough you'd have to say, I don't think you can be a Christian and deny that or believe that.
Okay.
And I don't think we can have any fellowship if you deny that or believe
that. And fellowship being like-minded and being able to talk about anything in the Bible, for instance.
Yeah, see each other as a brother or a sister. Well, we do that with people who join our church.
But we can be friends with anyone.
Right.
And you can be friendly toward everyone, and you should.
But we're talking about deep Christian fellowship. That's different than just friendship.
Yes. Yes, there are certain key issues that we would not let someone become a member of
right,
our church.
That's what
because
I'm saying.
There's a difference of the way they understand the Bible.
We leave some room for some nuance or difference of opinion when it comes to our lengthy statement of faith.
Right.
But when it comes to our basic statement of faith, our basic beliefs, we don't give any leniency. We say these nine things are what we think Christians must believe and adhere to.
To be a
to
Christian.
To be Christian.
Yes.
And so we draw the line and we say, if you deny these top tier nine things,
yes,
we actually don't. Not only don't we think you can be a member, we don't know that you're a Christian.
Right, and that's why you couldn't be a member.
Right, and so there is a line. You know, if the theological differences that this person's asking about or referencing, if they're that serious, if they elevate themselves to that level, then
yeah.
maybe there is no interaction or engaging.
But there could be some friendship involved. Because I play golf with people sometimes that and I like playing golf with them, but they probably lost.
Yeah.
But well, I still develop the friendship to a level that if I have the opportunity, I can share the gospel.
Yeah, there's something to be said about relationships with unbelievers.
Sure.
But they're different kinds of relationships.
Yeah, are these people talking about that kind of relationship, or are they talking about intimate relationships where they're your best friend forever? It's kind of like marriage. It's like marriage.
Marriage. Marriage.
That's not why we're here today.
What brings us together today?
Marriage.
Love.
You want to be bonded or bound.
True love.
You don't want to be unequally yoked. you want to be close knit in your spiritual walk with God, each having the same, you know what I'm saying.
Did I twirl you off with my speech?
You twirl me off a whittle. But you want to be equally yoked with your spouse.
Yes.
You want to be equally yoked with your nearest friends.
Yes.
So that you can discuss very personal issues with them.
Yes.
If you have a friend that believes has different theology than you, you may have trouble relating with them.
Yes.
In a deep way.
Well, I just wanted to point out in this part of the question that there does come a point when you have to probably say, no, there's no probably, where you have to say, I have to treat you as an unbeliever. I love
right.
you.
Yeah.
And I want to be friends with you, and I've enjoyed friendship with you. But I think you've got some deeply incorrect things that are top-tier things.
Right.
Now, what if they're second-tier things?
Yeah.
Or third-tier things? Second tier is a bit more important, a little bit more tricky.
More than third?
If they're if they're third tier or fourth tier or whatever, lower number than that, you could almost agree to disagree.
You could.
You could almost say, hey, this matters, but this isn't going to break our, our fellowship.
What I would, if I was in that kind of a friendship, I would want to know my beliefs on the differences that we have. And I want to know it scripturally. This is why I believe this. So should they want to engage in a discussion on the matter, then I could do it accurately, scripturally, scripturally based.
Well, second tier issues are kind of the reasons we have different denominations.
That's true. Because first tier issues should not be just a denominational difference.
Right. But second tier issues are, and they're of such a nature that we are saying we cannot fellowship or worship together regularly because we're too divided over these things. So they carry some significance.
Sure, you couldn't go to church with them and they probably wouldn't want to come with you.
Right. So if you have a brother or sister, and we're assuming that's what's going on because they call them saved, undoubtedly saved and faithful, well, then we just politely engage with them. But I also say, I guess let me come down and give my final answer, because we've talked a lot about the question, but we haven't answered the question. The question is, how do you engage somebody who's like this? And I'm assuming the questioner knows what the incorrect theology is. The questioner knows that this person is a Christian. The questioner knows I should treat them with gentleness and respect and honor them as a brother or sister. So how do I approach them and honor them in that way? One thing I would say is don't make every conversation about the disagreements.
Sure, absolutely.
And don't always be, if you're reaching out to them or getting them a gift or something, don't always make it about the things you disagree on.
Okay.
Now, if it's top-tier issues like the gospel, that's different.
Yes.
If it's a second-tier issue like, let's say, speaking in tongues, or New Testament prophecy, you should engage in discussion over those matters because it'll help you both arrive to the truth better.
Right.
But that doesn't mean every conversation has to revolve around those things. At some point, you beat people over the head over these secondary things so much that they dread your approach. They dread
you coming. You know what this is going to say.
Yeah. It starves them. It suffocates people from genuine fellowship, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So, I think we should be engaging with each other on things we disagree with, but I think there's a time, a place for that, an attitude for that. That level of discernment is a case-by-case situation. For instance, if you're out there, I'm just speaking as a pastor, you might think it's not a big deal if you disagree with your pastor about something, and you just make that known, and you might do it with a great, gentle spirit.
Right.
And typically, there's probably nothing wrong with that. Except you fail to realize 100 other people did that this week too. And so your comment can be incredibly discouraging.
Could be the straw.
It could be the straw. I mean, it could be one more thing piled on. Not just for pastors, it could be for anybody in life. Let's say somebody's been sick or somebody has a sick family member and you want to engage in this debate. It's just not the time. It's not the place. It's not the occasion. It's not the moment. And so,
there are more pressing issues.
Yeah. We need to see people as people first and not as disagreements or different beliefs, those sorts of things.
Right.
So that would be my, I don't know, answer, because
catch-all answer.
Well, there's just too much of a case-by-case nature to this.
But also it brings out to me the importance of being well versed in what you believe.
Absolutely.
I've been going through with a student the
Westminster
Baptist Confession of Faith.
No, Westminster. London Baptist Confession of Faith. 1689.
That's about the right year. But it's been very, very good. I really enjoy the time that I've had with this student, and good. Hopefully this student has had enjoyed the time he's had with me. And we don't always agree on every little point, but we kind of iron it out. We kind of, well, what does the Bible say? And of course, there's always good scriptural references to each one of the paragraphs.
Yeah.
To explain it. This is why we say this, and here's the scripture why.
Yeah.
So it's a really, I think it's a good read.
Yeah, it is. It's a good resource.
I've read it a few times, and I every time I just enjoy reading it because it concretes what I believe to be true.
And there's another aspect there. Even if you don't agree with everything, you still have benefit from it. And yeah. The same with these relationships. We may not agree on everything, but we can still benefit from mutual Christian fellowship.
Right. And hopefully this other denomination is an evangelical denomination.
Yes.
And hopefully you can work together and pray together for those who are lost.
And if these discussions get overwhelming or contentious or whatever else, be quick to affirm your love.
Yeah.
And be quick to back down, because you're likely not ever going to persuade somebody in one sitting.
Oh, no.
And end each conversation with a reminder of what you do have in common.
Right.
The gospel.
Absolutely.
Our Lord Jesus. But the phrase of this question, deeply incorrect, makes it a little tougher for me.
Well, some people's deeply incorrect is different than other people's deeply incorrect.
That's true.
So this person's opinion of what is deeply incorrect theology may not necessarily be yours, but it may. So there you go.
Well, to me, deeply incorrect implies a little bit more than second tier, but the undoubtedly saved and faithful implies that it's not a first tier issue. So I don't know.
So there you go.
Some of us seem to be more inclined to avoid confrontation, and we'd rather have peace, and
yeah,
and we don't speak up often enough.
Of course.
Others of us seem to embrace the fight, and we speak up too often.
Yes, I've seen that too.
Figure out which one you are and grow the other direction.
I'm the other guy. My tendency is to not say anything or not to create a conflict or try to make the relationship too smooth. And sometimes conflict is important.
It is. It's
good. You have to be picky
about it. Something I learned in college. Conflict isn't always bad.
That's where I learned it.
Did we go to the same college?
No, but we had the same teacher.
That's true. That is true. Well, again, I don't feel like I answered this question adequately because there's so much, I don't know, personal discernment in it. Don't be afraid to engage these things, but don't be the guy or the gal that's just constantly beating people up over them.
Sure, but we need to be carrying the Spirit of Christ in our lives.
Identify the seriousness of the incorrect
so that we can celebrate his goodness and his love.
Yeah.
His mercy. Kind of like, isn't God good?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
All
we have
the
an
time.
Agreement. Yes, he is.
Well, maybe there'll be a follow-up clarification question that we can jump into more specifically. But if not, hopefully this was beneficial to somebody out there listening.
Yeah, especially the person who wrote the question.
At least maybe it'll spur them to think. These are hard questions when you can't give a concrete answer.
Sure. Sometimes you don't have the question explained in its fullness. It's just like I'm asking a question on a piece of paper that I want you to answer, but you may not have all the information to be able to answer it accurately.
Well, I'm trusting here that deeply incorrect theology is not a first-tier thing.
Okay.
And if it's not, then it may not be as deeply incorrect as you are saying. But if it is that serious, have the discussion, but don't only have that discussion.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, that is all I have for the day.
That's all I have, too.
Other than the usual find us on Facebook, the Twitter, and Instagram.
Okay. Website.
Facebook and Instagram is Doctrine and Doxology Podcast, but the Twitter is Doc and Doc's Pod. Name was too long.
I can't remember all that. I need to write it all down so that once you put me on the spot again, I can just like turn to the right page of my book and just start reading it off.
The website is www. That is 9 6 U's. That's 6 U's. www.
So that's not the way I say it.
You say
www.
Trinity.
There's no U in W.
TrinityWeatherford.net. That's true. TrinityWeatherford.net. Under the Resources tab, you can find the home of Doctrine and Doxology. It's from that hub you can find all of our episodes.
So can they go through and pick it out by topic?
Topic, date, yes.
Awesome.
They can also email us questions if they'd like to do that. Send them more anonymously.
That would be good.
And they can find the link to iTunes, which if you listen on iTunes, would you please subscribe and click the little 5-star things, leave a review, a comment.
Well, I don't know that we're 5-star, but I think 4.5 be all right.
I'll take whatever you'll give, as long as it's 3 and above.
So you're saying if there's something down below that, just decide not to do it.
Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. Oh, my goodness.
Or just listen to us on Alexa, Amazon Music, Google Play, you know, all the things. All the things.
All the things. We will be back next week.
Lord willing.
Lord willing.
With another listener-submitted question.
Yes, it is.
I don't know what it is. Don't tell me.
I do.
Well.
It's in Jeremiah.
Good.
That's all I know. I mean, that's all I'm reading right now. I'm just reading the first two words.
Jeremiah Johnson?
Maybe. What's your name? Don't know. We'll find out next week.
What's your Christian name? Jeremiah.
Well, in Jeremiah, there's a question there.
Well, I'm backing away. I'm done. Okay. I've said it all.
All right. Then I shall pray. So, our Heavenly Father, you are wonderful and mighty. And Father, we just love you. We desire to serve you better. We desire to live our lives in holiness so that others might see you in us. Help us to always be faithful to share your gospel and anxious to share your gospel. Help us to realize the consequences of that soul who doesn't know you. And help us to let that spur us on to energy and drive to be more aggressive in our evangelism. Lord, we want to ask you to be with us, be with this church, be with our pastor, be with these listeners, touch their lives, and help them to draw closer to you as we all need to continually be drawing closer to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.